The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be God to us. Amen. Well, it's Holy Trinity Sunday. And I'm not always sure just how aware people are of the church year. As pastors, we do this every year, so we're kind of aware of all these Sundays when they come up. But last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and each year, the Sunday after Pentecost Sunday, is Holy Trinity Sunday. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it is every year. So we celebrated Pentecost last week. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. I've never liked preaching on Holy Trinity Sunday. But here I am. Most Sundays, I am one to preach on one of the biblical texts that's assigned for the day. I like to pick out one theme from one reading and develop that and work with that for most of my sermons. But it seems to me that this is a Sunday that invites a thematic sermon on the Trinity, rather than focusing on just one reading. And the readings for today, taken all together, talk about the Trinity. But the truth is, there's no place in the Bible that really spells out or explains the Trinity. It's just reading the whole Bible and taking it all together that suggests this is the way we might or maybe should understand God. So, rather than focus on just one text today, I think this Sunday of the year begs the pastor to preach on the Trinity itself, even if one is like me and would rather not. And that's one reason right there. I'm looking at you, and some of you, your eyes are already starting to glaze over. I haven't even started. But the truth is, the Trinity may be one of the most confusing, perplexing things in the Christian faith. It's so confusing and hard to understand. I find in the church, we don't talk much about it these days. So, to me, that makes it even maybe more necessary, or begs the question even more, that at least one Sunday a year, maybe we ought to step aside and talk about Trinity. So, I will try to be faithful to that call today. Now, what I hope to do today is actually make the Trinity come alive for you. And I want to talk about the Trinity today as the way we actually experience God in our daily lives. And I think if we think about Trinity in this way, Trinity actually can be kind of interesting and maybe not quite so confusing. My outline for the sermon today is nothing other than the Apostles' Creed, which we're not going to say. So it's kind of nice I'm covering it a little bit in sermon. Okay? So let's start with the first article of the Creed about God the what? Father. Thank you. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Boom. That's it. That's the whole first article of the creed. That's all we have to say about God the Father. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever thought it's a little strange? We have so little to say in our creed about God the Father. We talk a lot more about Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the creed. Why does the Father get short shrift? I actually think there's a good reason. Here it is. Because God, apart from Jesus and the Holy Spirit, is hidden to us. Think about that. God, apart from Jesus and the Holy Spirit, is hidden to us. Have you ever seen God the Father? Of course not. The Gospel of John opens talking about or pointing out that no one has ever seen God. And think about this. If God could be seen, there'd be no atheists. If God could be seen, there would be no atheists. And if God could be seen, there would be just one religion. Not the thousands upon thousands that exist today. We would all be able to see God and simply see the way it is. But we can't. God, who is the creator, God from whose hands unfold each new moment of life, is a God who is hidden to us. He cannot be seen or comprehended or understood. This is the God who gives us a beautiful, warm, sunny, or maybe hot, sunny, humid day today, and gives us a rainy day tomorrow. This is a God who gives us the wonderful, wonderful things in life, like the giddiness of falling in love, the taste of fine food and drink, humor and laughter and good friends. And this is the God who gives us the gray day, the tornado that rips life apart. The news from a doctor who says it's cancer and there's nothing we can do. At the end of the school year last year, you may have heard the story about a Waldorf student who had pulled off on the shoulder of the Avenue of the Saints because the minivan he was driving had a flat tire. The student's name was Zach. He was my advisee. Zach got out of the minivan, went around the back, and took the spare tire out to change the flat tire. As he was standing behind the minivan, a truck coming down the highway, for no reason that we really know, just happened to go outside the lane onto the shoulder a little bit right there. And hit Zach, pinned him between the truck and the minivan, and killed him. He was just weeks away from graduating. He left behind a fiance, and a baby, who both need him. Where was God in that? I can't see it. I can't understand. What is God doing there? How can life be so horrific and heart-wrenching at times, and so beautiful at times. The fact is, we simply can't understand God, the Father, the Creator of all that happens. Is the Creator God for us or against us? Looking at the day-to-day affairs of life, we can't say. That's why our creeds say so little about God the Father. At that level, God is a mystery to us. The second article of the creed is about God the Son. Notice, the second article of the creed is the longest of all three. We say more about Jesus than we do about the Father or the Spirit. And our creeds insist on four important things about Jesus. First, the creed insists that Jesus was divine. He's of the very stuff of God. Second, our creed insists that Jesus is human. He's the very stuff of us, flesh and blood. Third, our creeds insist that Jesus died a real human death, that he was really, honestly dead and lay in the grave for 3 days. And fourth, our creeds insist that that Jesus who died was raised from the dead in a new physical human body. This article of the creed is saying that that hidden God of the universe, that hidden God from whom every moment of life and existence unfolds, that that God entered deep into human flesh and lived among us as a human being. That's the very heart of the Christian faith. That the Creator of the whole universe became one of us. But I still have a question for you. Have you ever personally experienced Jesus? I mean, have you ever seen Jesus? Have you ever heard Jesus talk? Do you know what he looks like? I know this much. He doesn't look like that most popular painting of Jesus that makes Jesus look like he's German or European of some sort, where he's got long, flowing, kind of golden hair and blue eyes. I don't think so. Right? Jesus is from the Middle East. No doubt he had very dark eyes, dark hair, a dark full beard, probably very dark skin. And I say this purposely to be a little offensive. Jesus probably looked a lot more like Osama bin Laden than our popular pictures of Jesus. That's the truth. But that's my point. We don't know what Jesus looked like for sure. None of us have seen him. Some people long ago may have seen him and even heard him talk. But the truth is, for you and me, Jesus is just as hidden as God the Father. There's a popular Lenten hymn we sing that seems to forget all of this. Were you there? You know that song? Now, I really hope this isn't anybody's favorite hymn. And it probably is. I'm probably going to make somebody mad now. But personally, I think that hymn is really dumb. Think about it. Think about the words. You know it. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? No. I wasn't.
Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Nope, missed that too.
Were you there when God raised him from the dead?
Nope, didn't get to be part of that either. The answer to the whole song is no, no, no. I have never seen or heard Jesus himself. I wasn't present for anything that happened to him. I can't see God the Father, and I've never seen God the Son.
That brings us to the last part of the creed, the third article about the Holy Spirit. Thank you. I'm glad somebody's still awake.
Now, here, with the Holy Spirit, I want to do some very careful defining of terms, because I think the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood thing in our Christian faith today. First, we used to call the Holy Spirit the Holy what? Ghost, which I think did us all kinds of disservice. Yes, the Holy Ghost. I think because of that language, we came to see the Holy Spirit as a ghost. But you know, a good ghost, a friendly ghost, maybe a little like Casper. But the words for spirit in the Bible don't mean anything like ghost. And the biblical words for spirit also do not mean soul. In the English language, spirit and soul are synonymous. They are not in Greek and Hebrew. In fact, Hebrew really doesn't have a word for soul. Greek has a word for soul, but it's different. It's psyche, from which in English we get psychology. The biblical words for spirit have to do with wind, with breath, with moving air. That's what the word spirit means in the Bible. And we run into this right off in the very first creation story in Genesis that was read for us this morning. And God's spirit, or God's breath, moved over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God's spirit, God's breath, took on words and spoke, and something happened. That's what spirit means. It's breath. Sometimes I wish our Bibles would translate that word as breath instead of spirit, because I think the word spirit, as we use it in English, comes with way too much baggage to accurately translate those Hebrew and Greek words. In the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about the Spirit an awful lot at the end of the Gospel, when he's meeting with his disciples for the last time before he's crucified. Jesus says this about the Spirit. Everything he describes about the Spirit has to do with talking, has to do with speaking. And he says when he leaves, he will send the Spirit who will come, and the Spirit will teach. He says the Spirit will come and it will testify. And he says the Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you. Remember, I said at the beginning that we're going to talk about how we actually experience God in life. And it's this third part of the Trinity, this third part of God, the Holy Spirit, that you and I actually experience. God gets at you, and God gets at me through the Holy Spirit. You actually experience this in your life.
You have never seen God. You have never seen Jesus. But you know about them because someone has told you about them. Told you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the holy breath, the very breath of God gets loose on real human lips and speaks into real human ears. You know about Jesus because the Holy Spirit has spoken to you through mom and dad, through grandma and grandpa, through the mouths of Sunday school teachers and pastors, through the mouths of family and friends, and maybe even this morning, through the mouth of some crazy college professor. You've never seen the Holy Spirit either, but you've heard him. And he sounds like people in your life. The other tricky thing about this is you never know. You never know when the Spirit might be in the presence of someone who's talking to you. You never know when those words coming to you aren't just the words of your relative or friend or co-worker, but God has actually snuck into them to move your life. So you see, this triune God of ours is actually a very down-to-earth God. That hidden God the Father came deep in the flesh of Jesus Christ to be seen and heard and touched by a few people who happened to live then. But now, this down-to-earth God of ours, that hidden God we cannot see, comes through the words of the Holy Spirit, who gets loose on human lips and preaches to us about Jesus Christ. This is our experience of God. That's what this Trinity stuff is really all about. It is the Holy Spirit that tells us of Jesus. And it is the Spirit that carries on the ministry of Jesus. It is the Spirit that says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that says, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. It is the Spirit that in just moments will say, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The Holy Spirit tells us of the hidden God, the creator of all that is, who came in human flesh right in the middle of human history in the person of Jesus. The Holy Spirit preaches Christ, makes Christ known to us, and carries on Christ's ministry in us and among us, so that we may know and trust, so that we may have faith in the God whom we cannot see. The Trinity is what God does to be your God. The Trinity is a God who insists on being God for you. Amen.